Well, good morning.
Good morning.
My wife didn't make it back today, but she has all kind of allergies, and we live out in the country in Harrington, and they're cutting a lot of corn, and that's what I have to say about that. But she would love to be here, but she sends her good wishes to you. Well, I tell you, this another week went by, and it just reminds us that how much hate is in the world, isn't it? The news just doesn't get any better. It just doesn't seem to get better. But we know that we have a place. I know I have a place that's, I've got a great place to be. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Eye hath not seen, no eye has seen, neither ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of any man or woman, the glorious things that God has prepared for" who? "Those that love him." And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning a little bit some more. I want to follow up from last Sunday. If you've turned in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, I just want to add some insight into the passages that we talked about last week about the message that we talked about, the greatest commandment. C.S. Lewis called it the supreme commandment, loving God with all of your heart. And the newest commandment that Christ gave his disciples right before he went to the cross, and he said in an upper room, And he loved us, and I want to add to that to this morning, and I want to add to that love. The law of love, they called that, that the Lord gave that evening in the room as he told them to love each other like I have loved you. Well, Galatians 5:22, I just want to bring some context to it here, if I can find it right here quickly. And in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 4 and 5 and 6 just for a second. It's before we start into this. It says, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by" what? "By love." It's all about our faith, but it's all about our love. It works by love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, and in the Greek, the fruit is singular. If you look that word up, karpos, it's singular. And I believe love is the fruit. And the fruit produces the flavors of joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And there is no law against these. And you know why I believe that love is the fruit? Because without God's love, you can't have God's peace. Without God's love, you can't have patience, God's patience. Or you can't have God's kindness or God's goodness or any of the other spiritual gifts. If you don't have love, God's love, you're lacking in all of those. And they are the flavors of the fruit of love. All the different flavors that grow together. You can't just bear one of the flavors of love. We are to grow all of them as we surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus. And you want to be like Jesus, then you need all of them. We just don't need one or two. We need them all, don't we? Especially today. God's love is the key to spiritual growth. Without it, you are just making a whole lot of noise. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. The Greek word there for agape, I looked it up this last week, and it is an expression of almost like someone with their mouth wide open and in wonder. And it is a settled purpose. Think about that. Is your love for the Lord Jesus a settled purpose? Has it settled in your heart? God's love for us is settled. Do you know that? We were yet sinners and Christ died for us. In his heart, he loved you. It was settled in his heart, in God's heart, that he loved you. Well, think about this. These words of love came from who? The Apostle Paul, who came to Jesus with the blood of the saints on his hands. Think about it. And that's the power of Christ's love to change hearts. He changed the heart of the Apostle Paul. And you know the story. But let's stop now and ask the Holy Spirit to anoint this message and to speak to our hearts this morning. Would you bow with me? Precious Holy Spirit, Lord, without you, without your Spirit this morning, absolutely nothing will be of any good. We need you, Lord, this morning. We need your love. It's not about a black hole that devours all that love. It's about the living cell. You are a living God. And Lord, those cells multiply as we see the cells in our body multiply every day. You are a living God, and your love multiplies, and it will never run out. And teach us your love. In the precious name of Christ we pray. Amen. Paul talks about spiritual war going on in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. The sinful nature, the flesh is constantly fighting against the spirit, and they're opposites. And Satan doesn't want you to love God with all of your heart. He doesn't want you to love each other like Jesus has loved you. He doesn't want you to love the broken people of this world. But the Word of God commands us to love. See, you can't command fleshly love, phileo love. You can't command eros love. But agape, God's love is commanded by Him. The Word tells us that love is such an uncontrollable passion that you just can't do anything about it. That's what the world says. We're just victims of love. Would God give you a command that He would not give you the power to be obedient to that command? The beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ is simply this. That Jesus Christ came to you and He said, I love you just like you are. But I love you too much to keep you like you are. And He sent His only Son to be sacrificed for the sin and the brokenness in our lives. And you can't say love without saying give, without giving. And the two go together. And for God so loved the world that He gave. And I'm talking about God's character being lived out in the lives of His children. And Jesus died to set us free from the law and sin. We can't be free of our own works. We can't earn that freedom. We will stand before the Lord Jesus one day. It's because of our faith in Him, that we'll be able to stand there. We are to bear the fruit of God's nature, the fruit of His Spirit. What is God's nature? 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, but anyone who does not love does not know God. For what? God is what? God is love. You know, I've been criticized many times for preaching too much on love. And I know the last two these sermons are on love. But you know something? Without it, you're just a gong. You're just a bell that doesn't, it rings, it doesn't do anything. Galatians 5:22. If you got your text, let's look at these verses just together for a moment. These four or five verses. This, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And out of that love comes joy. God's joy. God's peace. God's long-suffering. God's kindness. God's goodness. God's faithfulness. God's gentleness. And God's self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited or provoking one another, envying one another. See, all of these nine flavors show us God's heart and God's character. In verse 22 and 23, it says, walk bearing all the beauty of Christ. Verse 24, it says, walk bearing a body that has been given to Jesus. There's nine, a body. You bear Christ, all the nine attributes, the beautiful attributes of Christ. You can have all of them. The Holy Spirit can work that in your life and that help them to grow, but you have to surrender to Him. And verse 25 says, walk consistently, knowing that my life is in Christ's hands. And verse 26 says, walk free from selfishness and spiritual superiority and envy of others. God's love is not only of the heart. His love is of the mind. It's of reason and the will. And it's a love that never ends. And man's love will end. You rely on man and you will fail. Jesus will love you all the way to the end. He will never leave you or forsake you. If you're a true follower of Jesus Christ, love is not an option for you. Jesus commands us to love him with all of our hearts, our minds, and our souls, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, how would you define love? Could you give me a definition of love? Is love a feeling? No. It contains feeling. It may result in feelings, but it's not an emotion. It's not just oceans of emotion. Jesus commands us to love him, and you cannot command a feeling. Emotions are involved. There's nothing wrong with emotions being involved in love, but vertically to the Lord Jesus and to each other. The world says love looks like this. By the way you cry, or the way you sing, or whatever. We live in a world that true love has been perverted. Even perversion has become the norm of many today. Pastor, I just can't control it. It's not my fault. I'm just a victim of love. No, it's lust. It's not love. We struggle with the definition of love because in today's language, love means a lot of very different things. I love football. How many football fans we got here? No. I like football. I'm kind of getting tired of it, to tell the truth. I love football. I love my dog, Barney. Do you love your wife like you love Barney? A guy put an ad in Facebook looking for a wife that loves dogs. Send picture of dog. You're supposed to laugh. Okay. We have one word for love. The Greeks had three different words. Eros, sexual love. Phileo, social love. And agape, God's love, spiritual love. Today I'm talking about love that comes from God. Perfect love. Because God is the one who started love. I'm talking about love that experiences joy for another person. Jeremiah chapter 31, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I will love you all the way to the end. And God loves all of you here this morning, even those who have never loved him. If you're here this morning and you've never even known much about Jesus Christ, he loves you. He died for you. And our God is patient. He finds joy in our love and in our obedience. And he would that none of you should perish. Some of you may think that God's angry. He's out to get the world and judgment is coming. And there is a day coming when wrong will be made right and evil will be destroyed. Aren't you glad of that? Have we ever seen so much evil in the world? You know, I keep flashing back and I think, well, I didn't live that. Oh, I was just a baby back. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But anyway, we think about Hitler. We think about how terrible things were with some of our parents and stuff that went on to be with the Lord and what they had to deal with. But I tell you, it's not any better. It's certainly not any better. God will make all things new. Aren't you glad? He will renew the good things destroyed by man. And that day, I think, is very close. I know it's closer than it was yesterday. I know that. But God's love will never stop. And here a Bible definition of love, that God loves you, and what love is seeking the highest good for others, regardless of how they treat you. We were sinners, and Christ loved us. He even died for us. Can you comprehend that? I can't. There's some of you here this morning and you're struggling with all kinds of issues in your life, and being a follower of Jesus should make a difference in your life and in how you treat your spouse and how you treat your kids and how you treat your neighbors and how you treat unbelievers. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8 says, "Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins." What does that really mean? This is what I think it means. Number one, His love for us, His sacrificial love, covers all sin of those who choose to turn their hearts over to Him. And then for believers, we come to know new believers, and they become true followers of Jesus. We should not see their sin. We just shouldn't see the past problems that they had, because they're forgiven. They're your brother and they're your sister. And the sin is covered, and the past is not a wall of separation. Just as Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You know, he didn't get baptized. He said, "Today you'll be in paradise." I'm not against baptism. Don't get me wrong, I'm a Baptist. But God knows your heart. That's what I want you to know today. God knows every one of you. He knows your heart. He knows your deepest thoughts. See, it's God's love that gives you a new covering, a new life. And I have a new commandment that I can love you as God has loved me. Because Jesus Christ has come into my life, I can love you. Because He loves me. And now that I know He loves me, I receive His love for me. I can know love. I can now love you like He loves you. Are you with me? Colossians chapter 3 verse 14, it says, "Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony." The Greek word for harmony there means perfection or maturity. God's love in your life works toward perfection and spiritual maturity. That's a description of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, we see the quality of love. In verse 4, it says, "Love suffers long." What does that mean? It means love is patient. Aren't you glad that God's patient with you? See, man's patience runs out. That's why these fruits of the Spirit are God's flavors of the fruit of love. Because they last. Ours doesn't. Then it says, "Love is kind," which means it is a serving love. Kindness is expressed in serving each other. True love serves those who don't deserve to be served. If you love me, please give me what I need, not what I deserve. You know, love is hard sometimes. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 says, "Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you." That's not easy. This kind of love isn't natural. It takes prayer. So the world will be a difference in those who love God. We're at war today, you know, with hate and evil. Did you know that? It's everywhere. I think it's the biggest war we've ever been in. Apple trees produce apples. And if you've been grafted into the tree of life, you are to walk in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and live in the Spirit so that you operate in the Spirit, and then the fruit comes out. Jesus was going to the cross, and the next day in the upper room, what did you find Him doing? What was He doing? He was washing the feet, the dirty feet of His disciples. That's the kind of leadership we need in the church today. Servant leaders. You know, I was blessed to be pastor for almost 14 years and associate pastor for half that time about at Greensboro Baptist Church. And we had a gentleman come from Plano, Texas. His name, I think, Gene Wilkes. And he wrote the leadership program, Jesus on Leadership. Anybody ever heard of that? I tell you, I'd recommend it to this church. It's one of the greatest things Greensboro Baptist Church did. We I taught it about three or four times, and then Ken Spatz, one of our Bible teachers, taught it another three or four times. And we produced some servant leaders. You know why? Because it was all about how Jesus served. We're to have the heart of Christ when we serve. You know, if you do that, guess what? You won't be arguing with anybody. You'll do it out of heart of love. And you'll be as humble servant as Jesus taught us to be. Arrogance and pride and envy makes everyone sick except the one who has it. 1 Corinthians 13:4, the New Living Testament says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. This verse says, love is not proud. You can't be big-headed and big-hearted at the same time. Verse 5 says, love isn't rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. And it keeps no record of being wronged. I hope that you're teaching your grandkids, your kids, that love is not rude. You know, one of the greatest things, you walk up to somebody and you see their children and how they're very polite and pleasant. And what do? You tell the parents, don't you? Because it's so rare today. Someone said, if you teach people their rights, you'll have revolution. If you teach them responsibility, you'll have revival. Well, I tell you, yesterday I got on and watched, and I really got depressed watching some of the parades in New York City. I've got a daughter that lives in New York City. She said, Dad, it's really terrible here. The Brooklyn Bridge was full of people. The hate was just pouring out of them. And it was this one poor Jewish guy trying to talk to him, and it was like, you know, it was just a waste of time. They just were overwhelming him. But hate is wrong. If it's against a Jew, if it's against anyone. Even these Palestinian people, they have hearts. They have, you know, they're people that need help. But the thing of it is, you know, God will judge those that are evil. So we can rest in that. But we have to live here, don't we? So we should set the example. Who are we? We're God's children. We should set the example. Matthew 6:14-15 says, if you will not forgive those who have offended you, then God in heaven will not forgive you. You know, you can't get past that. I've done a lot of counseling over the years, and I can remember having people in my office, and when it came right down to it, and there was this terrible problem, and there was so much pain, and I found out it was because they wouldn't forgive somebody. It's going to hurt you the most when you don't forgive. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, true love never fails. The New Living Testament says, love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. When you have a friend or a spouse that has fallen into sin, you should weep, because you know that they're headed for pain. 1 Peter 4:8 says, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Three things to ask yourself before you speak in a stressful situation. Number one, is it true? Number two, is it necessary? And number three, is it kind? We need to think before we speak. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You can't grieve someone unless they love you. Did you know that? We can grieve God. I can grieve my wife because she loves me. God says this morning, you know I love you, and love can hurt. I know, but I gave my only son to show you how much I do love you. Sacrificial love beareth all things, believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. We've talked about the definition of love and gave a description of love, and now I just want to end with the desire for love. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, and may the Lord make your love for one another, for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. He says, may Jesus make your love grow. Did you know that your love can grow? It's not an emotion, it's a decision. It's a decision that can grow and abound. I love this because I heard me say just a minute ago, but love is really, I think this is a tremendous thing to think. It should become a settled purpose. Over 50 years ago, I fell in love with a little girl. She was in Florida, and she had five brothers and sisters, and her mother worked as a waitress, and her dad had died when she was 9 years old. She had hardly clothes to wear to school, but I fell in love with her and her humility and her grace. She had nothing, but she had Jesus in her heart. And I have a settled purpose. I'll love her as long as I can love. And I know Jesus has that settled purpose for me. This morning, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you don't have to worry about Him stop loving you. I had something happen with one of my daughters. I have three daughters, and it wasn't very good, and she was so worried about what I was going to think. And I told her, I said, "Look, sweetheart, you will never do anything that will make me stop loving you like I love you. There's nothing she can do. She's my child." And that's the way God looks at us. He's always ready to forgive. He stands ready to heal the darkest soul. And there's a lot of darkness in this world. Our love ought to grow for each other and then for the broken people that we come in contact. First John 4:20 says, "If someone says, 'I love you,' but hates a fellow believer, that person's a liar. For if we don't love people that we see, how can we love God that we cannot see?" 1 Peter 3:8 says, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters." One thing that I'm learning about this church, I spent some time here this morning, came early, talked to quite a few people, and I think the people that come through these doors have a good chance of finding love here. And that's one of the best things I could say about you. Any church. You know, we're in the middle of a tech world revolution. The more machines act like people, the more people act like machines, right? You almost hate to make a phone call to try to get a problem resolved these days because it's usually iRobot or somebody on there trying to talk to you. And it's going to get a lot worse, believe me. In reality, people are looking for real love, but most of them in the wrong places. And there's a sense of loneliness. Any of you remember Madeline Murray O'Hare? She was what? A great what? Atheist. She caused us a lot of problems, didn't she? Can you remember? She was in the headlines all the time. Downing God. Well, you know what happened? In 1995, she disappeared. You remember this? They couldn't find her. In fact, I don't think they ever found her, but they found her diary. And I want to tell you what was in her diary. Six times she wrote this in her diary. "Somebody, somewhere, please love me. Somebody, somewhere, please love me." She hated God, but she needed love. We have a generation of people crying out for love. And if you look close enough, you can see it on their faces. You know it's true. God made us all with a void down deep in our hearts to be loved. Not just eros love, fleshly love, not brotherly love, but God's love. We desire that love, that love that is there regardless of what we do. But we desire agape love. We desire the greatest of all love. And God's love will fill that emptiness. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus, that empty hole in your heart will never be filled by anything else. Not money, not sex, not drugs, not anything but Jesus. He'll fill that void. Let's pray. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with the glory of Eden, Lord. We look forward to seeing you, Lord, out of this, being resurrected out of this hard world. But Lord, you said, I'm going to make all things new. Everything will be made new. Lord, I pray that you'll make your home in our hearts and the hearts of these folks today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to give you this verse before we close. Paul says in Ephesians 3:16, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through the Holy Spirit. And then what? Then Christ will make his home in your heart. Friends, we need the Lord Jesus in our heart. He needs to be on the throne of our hearts today. Do you have that kind of love this morning? I hope you do. Thank you for listening. We're going to end with a song. And so, Lord bless you this week. I'll be praying for this church. God bless you. Thank you for letting me speak with you.
Please stand and sing number 470.